How's everybody doing today?
Good.
So, does anybody know what coordinate geometry is? Want to get a presentation?
COBOL is a technique to accurately build GIS representations of a map features using feature geometry, such as bearings, distances, curve radii, curve angles, and radial angles. Geometry information is derived from the parcel legal description of recorded documents. Track maps, parcels, deeds, waivers, lot line adjustments. We get this data from the Public Works Department and various other agencies, and we edit our city's GIS data and parcel map. This is how it starts. Basically, we create this from that. We get a paper image, which we're trying to work on, not getting paper images, working on digital images, but that's a different, that's a different situation, to create a very nice GIS parcel layer. The GIS representation of a subdivision parcel is created using the legal description data on the recorded track map. The layers that we COGO are the parcel boundaries, the maintenance districts, the road center lines, and the annexations. We can COGO polygon features or line features. Currently, we start off with line features. We generate everything we COGO, we generate by lines. This way we can store the COGO attributes, such as the radius, the distance, the curves, everything into one line layer and stores the attributes that we need. And then we'll generate the polygons from that using the construct tool. The reason why we do this is it actually saves a lot of time because you're not having to keep, every time you draw a polygon and you want to draw a polygon, a coincident polygon right on top of it, you have to redraw that line. So by doing the lines, you actually can reuse your line work over and over. COGO line features. Legal descriptions data, bearing distances that are input during the COGO process to build features are captured as attributes to a layer. Additional editing tools are available to help in building features, such as the partition tool. Basically, that tool allows us to draw one straight line across the whole area, and then partition it into individual segments based on the attributes. Line features, parcel boundaries, are easily converted to polygons by using the construct tool. Parcel boundary line, we have two parcel layers. One is the lot lines, which basically is the line work, and the other is the polygons. Most people use the polygons, because especially when we use ArcGIS products, it's very easy to symbolize. In the past, you basically, to do custom line symbologies, you had to use line work, but with the new version from 8 on, you're able to actually symbolize polygon outlines whatever way you want, but I haven't used the lines. But the lines are the forestoring attributes. And COGO is accomplished using the traverse tool that is accessed from the COGO toolbar. Traverse is a method in field surveying to establish a control of networks. In other words, basically, when you create a traverse, you start at one known point and draw the next line. The next traverse is the next point to the next set point. So basically, you're using prior COGO points to create the next line. The traverse creates an edit sketch of features by inputting the characteristics of the feature's geometry. An example of this is if you have a square parcel, which very rarely most parcels have some sort of curves or changes or modifications, you basically would start with one line, draw the whole line, then come back, type in the COGO attributes for the next one, draw the next line, next line, next line. So basically your traverse is the complete polygon. The traverse dialog box. It's a pretty simple dialog box, it's very easy to use. In the top left right there, in the slide, I'll show you exactly what it is. For straight line segments, those are the axes. You basically type in the direction and the distance. For a tangent curve, you type in the radius, the angle, and which way the curve turns. For a non-tangent curve, which is very similar, you type in the radius, the angle, the turn, and the direction of the curve. Here is an example of this COGO track. You have the main COGO tracks right there in the middle. That's what you're going to be converting to GIS data. And in the top right of the sheet, is all of the numbers you'll be typing in to actually create the lines. To start the verse, you click on the upper black arrow. This allows you to point to the starting position where the pointer is clicked right now. You start there, click, and you click on a known point for setting your snap intolerances. So in this case, you are going to be starting with a known survey point. Then you set your directions and distance in the drop-down list. And you type in the information, such as in this case, it is south 89 for 33 east, and distance of 1981.88 feet. And it draws straight line. Then to complete the tie-in, you add in the second line of the traverse. And that basically, the second end point up there, the red square, is where you're actually going to be starting the track. So you have to go from a known point over the line to that starting point, and that's where you start your track. That's what's called tie-in line. For a closed loop traverse, the beginning end points of the traverse are identical. So the traverse creates a set of polylines that comprises a closed figure. Basically, that would be like the perimeter of the track. If you start at this point, it's always going to have to be completed. Not all the time we get the plans, or do they close properly? So sometimes we have to do some research. Sometimes we have to add in a tad bit of error to our data. I'm sure you guys all know that. Sometimes we even have to get so far off that we have to go back to the developer to find out why that track didn't close. Cobra track perimeter starting line, the terminus of the timeline. Basically, like I said, when you draw the timeline, which is the first two lines that were drawn, you use that endpoint as a starting point for your track. Then you input all of the traverse lines, which you can see from the slider there. Then you click the closure button for a closure report. The closure report is a category that tells how many courses each segment of a traverse is called a course. The total length of the whole thing, the ending coordinates, the beginning coordinates, the measure of the XY, the missed closure, 0.012 means 12 hundredths of a foot, and next, and the negative 6.16 hundredths of a foot on the Y. That means that there's that much error in the closure. Then you also have another tool right here called Traverse Adjust. This takes the XY error throughout the whole system and spreads it out through all the lines and not just one. Usually we'll go with a hundredth of a foot is usually accurate enough for our needs. So we probably wouldn't worry about that. It's usually if it's over a tenth of a foot that we start talking about where we need to find why it's off. A closed traverse with starting and ending, different arc starting and ending positions. That will be decided, that will be shown by the bottom line parcel. That is actually going to be broken up into individual parcels in a few slides. So you're starting and starting position, ending position is the red square. The COBO lines, first, next we COBO all the large blocks from the track. So you're not drawing each individual line, you're trying to just draw big sections of an area at one time. And then you finally draw in the remaining ones for each individual process. We store our COBO attributes in the lines, like I stated in the beginning. So it contains all the, each line contains all the information in the dialog box, which is the direction, distance, the delta, the radius, if there is one for a curve. Whatever information will be typed in the boxes will show up in the attributes, so later on we can go back and find out what's going on. And then we derive polygons from the COBO lines and store the parcel attributes, such as the APN, the address, various other information, a lot of the information we actually get from DCOM. Currently, we have over 156,000 parcels that we have created for our own jurisdiction. And out of those, 40,000 are COBO. A lot of it we started out with basic county data or Y data that we sort of stretched and tweaked. Someday we actually would like to go back and COBO all of our parcels, but right now we're strictly dealing with new parcels and everything. Don't have anything else in the slides. I would like to give a little bit about myself. Sorry, I missed it in the first. I guess I started the wrong presentation. Sorry about that. I added a few more slides. I had a joke and everything. That's sad now.
Well, my name's Matt. I've been with the city of Bakersfield for about 9 years. My experience is not truly in cadastral diagramming. It's basically GIS as a whole. So I've actually just started running parcels in the last year and a half that I've been with Bakersfield. Most of the time, all the data dealt with parcels has been from a layer received from the county. We used it as a base map. So if anybody has any GIS questions or even some basic cadastral editing questions, feel free to ask me.
You mentioned the partition tool. Is that a proportion tool?
No, that's partition tool. Proportion tool, I don't know, are you CAD or GIS?
Partition tool.
Yes, on the COBOL toolbar there is a partition tool.
It's called partition?
I believe so.
Or are you referring to the proportion tool?
There's a proportion tool on this on the COBOL toolbar.
We send a shapefile of our data every time we do it. You guys currently using it?
Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't.
A shapefile of the lines or the shapefile of the polygons?
We can send them whatever way they prefer. I believe right now we send them the polygons. We're trying to work out ways to help with better workflows. Actually, like I said, with the traverse toolbox right here, you can actually save that file right there with all the line works and everything already in this text file, and then you actually can give that to somebody else and they can load that into their system if they wanted to. That's an option that we always can use.
Okay, the reason I was asking is because in James' presentation, he needs the lines. And he needs to symbolize each line differently. So when you create the colors, since you are already doing it with the segments, like the boundary, you can assign the type for that type of line, which would be subdivision boundary, so
right.
It doesn't have to go and tag its segment. So if you work together within the same auto problem.
That is definitely something that we could work on and probably should work on. But on these track maps, I guess that'll work. It's just an attribute for us.
Hey, we've been doing it for 30 years, so I know it
works. Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, Jim, you want to do that?
We'll talk.
And when Tony was speaking in the last presentation, someone asked about using mobile data on a PDA or a phone or something to check it back into the GIS. We currently do that. With ArcPad. Some of the stuff is just placeable IP and someone out for one certain purpose, and then we won't, of course, link that. That'll just be a separate file. But we have many applications such as trees, signs. We don't do much like that with parcels. Basically, we just draw the outlines for our base mapping purposes. But they'll take it out into the field, they'll make any changes they want to the data, add new data, and we'll come back and check it into our main SDE system. So it can be done, it does work. It's very similar to do with polygons.
We're looking at changing kind of order. What do you mean you're looking at the PRA split with property and the subdivision or something like that? Or any change that the city can do a lot by adjustment?
We get a list of all the lot line adjustments and parcel map waivers and all those other things from either the county or from the public works department, depending on who gave it to us. And then we just keep a list of them, and on a periodic basis, we go through and make the changes to the parcels. But we also, most of the time, we do concentrate almost all on new tracks rather than the individual ones, the best we can, because that's what people want the most.
I guess the kind of question is that the assessor's office has a track. You have a logical track.
Right.
But if it turns out that Part of the lot is in one lighting district, and the other part of the lot is a different lighting district. It's going to have a different tax here. And we have to split that lot to show two different PPNs.
Okay.
So the question would be is, you guys, how do you guys deal with that sort of thing?
Well, I'm not sure in terms of, yeah, like I said, with lot line adjustments or anything like that, we basically, as we get them from whatever agency gives them to us, we would just go through and, using the COBO process, either erase that line and redraw it to where it's supposed to be. We don't really deal too much with that TRA stuff. Most of the time we use our TRA as the under, as an overlay to that, and then at the parcel line change, of course, we would change it. If the county says that there's a new APN number that says there's two here rather than there was one, We maintain a history table that shows what this parcel, the old parcel number, and where it changed to, and also all of its children along the way, so we can search through it and find what we need. But
I guess the other bottom line would be, what do you use as your unique identifier to use the APN number?
Yes, there is. I guess there is no true. The APN number basically is the unique identifier to all of the parcel data. So you know that the assessed value and all the other stuff is what we use as our unique identifier. But we basically just use the default object ID in GIS as the actual unique identifier for the row. So every month or so, Jim sends us data from them that should show the, all the updates. So we'll go through and update our parcel APN numbers with changes and modifications, and we'll change them. Because that's the one issue that we do have. When we draw our parcels, we don't have the APN numbers because they're not done yet. So we have to put in a dummy APN, and once we get their parcel data with the correct APNs, we have a process that changes the APNs from the system.
Okay. Alright. So any questions? Can you do your own instead of using theirs?
It is a speed issue right now. Yes. Our staff requires it quicker than we can get them from the county, so we have to maintain our own environment. Like I said, we are working toward trying to figure out how we can make it work, because I actually don't prefer to do parcels. I actually prefer to let the people that know parcels and do parcels. So we are trying to work toward that, because I do think that the assessors should, the ones that create the parcels, should be the ones maintaining them. I don't like the idea of doing two.
Thanks.
Sorry.
You said you do a lot of line adjustments when you get them from whatever agency. Where do you get your
lot line? Well, we usually get them from Public Works. Public Works is usually one that tells us. I'm not exactly 100% sure where they get them from. I'm sure it would be the county or owner, landowner, or whoever.
So you get them as the county says they're reporting?
Yes.
So you said you track history. Are you doing this all in SDE?
No, history is not, has nothing to do with line work. History only has to do with the attributes. So if people need information on something, say they type an APN number, the form that's created will basically say, this parcel was this, and it's split into this, or this parcel had four parents. It started from here and broke down into a bunch of different parcels. So it's just a non-spatial attribute table for searching APNs.
And you guys do this?
No. It's just a SQL Server database table. We have a website that basically someone types in the APN and gives the information about it.
What kind of control do you use? Do you have blocking this? Do you guys go out and survey your control, or do you count the county?
We would count the county to them, or the surveyor. Well, basically, we take what they use on the track maps. And if they use that monument as a control point, then that's what we would use as a anybody else have any questions?
Yes, sir. Comment back to the TRA question, because we get many questions as to why we group for assessment differently than what the revenue, what the Subdivision Map Act and the planning types do. And I have suggested that there should be a field, they've never taken me up on it, but that there could be a one-digit field that says one is a legal parcel, nine is a non-legal parcel, five is two legal parcels grouped together. or is a parcel split by a TRA line for assessment purpose? You know, you could create any number of categories.
Right.
But that type of thing would help a lot of taxpayers, because we get people who sell a parcel because it has an APN, but it's for taxing only, and then they're in trouble with the planning types. I would love to see the people who build GIS put that kind of field in there and get the planning types to populate it, because we don't want to be responsible for the info, but we're the ones who are constantly asked.
They want $1,200 or $2,000 to give that in.
Well, I guess in my situation, I guess I think it's slightly different, because like I said, we don't deal too much with the data behind the parcels. That stuff we get from the county. We don't deal with it. We don't create APNs. We just use them basically as a linking field to link to our data. So we're co-mowing a tract. That's the legal description that we have at the time. And then, like I said, when we get a parcel map waiver or a lot line adjustments, we make the change and we get those. If it created, the lot line adjustment created two new parcels with different sizes, which of course it would, that data would come from the county and link to it. So
if your planning staff uses these maps, they're going to run into, is this or is this not a legal parcel?
I'm sorry, I don't know that answer.
When your city issues a building permit, is it issued under the object ID number or the APN?
It is. Actually, most of the time, building permits are done under addresses. They're searched for an address. Address has an APN, so I guess it would, in theory, be APNs. Basically, in our system, I don't know, we use HG, I don't know what everyone else uses. But every address has to have an APN. So you have an APN, then you have a bunch of addresses off that APN. And they assign the building permit to the address. So indirectly, I guess it would be. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Good work for the Sibon.